Somehow this theme is starting to sound pretty good.
Yes. The theme is better than how the Browns play.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Let's check with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle-Telegram. Maybe talk Browns football or something else.
Well, how about this? Let's start this way. Scott, if you could use one word to describe yesterday's Browns game, what would you say?
Rock bottom, maybe? Although they got four games left, so that might not be accurate.
I think that sound you made at the very beginning of the question probably is the answer. I guess is that, as you stayed in here. The deplorable defense offered no resistance. The inefficient offense lacked big plays. I guess that's the cross stitch sampler for the season. I guess the way this thing is going, what do we do?
Well. You know what, I think it's gotten to the point where we're going to have a new regime again. Jimmy hasn't said anything publicly. But when you lose this kind of game, this kind of way, at home, with the fan base as frustrated and fed up as it is, unless something drastically changes the last 4 weeks, I think we're looking at a new GM and a new coach, which means, you're starting over. And as tough as that is to accept, because the Browns have started over so many times and they've already had, Jimmy Haslam's already fired two coaches and he only got here in 2013 or 2012. I just think we're so far down the road that that's what he's going to have to do. Mike Pettine has lost, I think it's 17 of the last 19 games. Either 15 of the last 17 games he's coached, and I don't know at the end of the year how you sell that to the owner is progress.
Any players still showing up? Any players kind of, because sometimes when everything drops, someone could raise above and at least be noticed. Anybody coming to your mind at this point?
Yeah, that's interesting. A couple points there. I asked Mike Pettine after the game if he was satisfied with the effort of the players. And he said he was. He said, you watch the film, they're flying around, they're playing hard. You go ask these guys, they're playing hard. And that makes sense that a coach would say that, because as soon as the effort drops, then the owner has no choice but to fire the coach. That's one of the things the owner looks for. Okay, is the effort there? And Mike Pettine said it was. It's hard for me to say it's not unless I see something obvious. But the fact is, to your question, the Browns aren't getting any kind of difference-making performances from their players, and part of that's injuries. A guy like Joe Hayden's not there. They're missing a couple receivers, and Hawkins and Gabriel didn't play yesterday. But your best players, the guys you were counting on, really haven't done much this year. Like Tayshaun Gibson, he's been hurt a little bit, the free safety, but he doesn't have the interceptions he did last year. He didn't get over and cover AJ Green on an easy touchdown yesterday, and that was his fault. Mike Pettine went out of his way to say it wasn't cornerback Tremont Williams' fault, it was the safety's fault, and that was Tayshaun Gibson. You look at Paul Kruger, who I think the coaching staff hurt him because they misused him early in the season. He only has like 3 sacks. Last year he had 11, career high. So the guys that you need to make big plays really aren't. They're getting nothing from their running backs, or hardly nothing from their running backs. So a roster that at the beginning of the season I thought was deeper than ever, it doesn't have really now, from injuries and the whole season, it just looks like it's a roster that can't compete with the rest of the division and doesn't have the playmakers at the front end. So it looks like everything's wrong.
You look at a player like A.J. Green and you think to yourself, I wish we had a receiver like that, or somebody who at least looked like that. I mean, it's amazing when you got players that somehow just seem to perform and want to win. Speaking of our receivers, we almost ran out of them yesterday.
Yeah, and, the Browns have gone with 4 receivers a lot this year, where you only had 4 on the active roster. And then you hope, a couple guys don't get hurt. And then Travis Benjamin gets hurt and Marlon Moore gets hurt. I think why it was a bad decision or a questionable decision on Mike Pettine's part is they had room. Dwayne Bowe and Terrell Pryor were both healthy, both inactive. Pryor, he said it's because he was only back in practice 3 days and wasn't ready to play. Bo They're just so far in the doghouse, they only play him when they absolutely have to. But they could have made one or both of those guys active without it being a big deal. They had Don Jones, a safety who never plays defense, who's just a special teamer. He was active. There's just, you know, and I think we've gotten to the point where some of these moves, you know, who knows, Mike Pettine wouldn't admit it, but they look like the coaching staff saying to the GM, you gave me bad players. When they don't activate Dwayne Bowe, who signed a contract with $9 million guaranteed, they don't activate him. To me, that's a thing to the GM. Says, hey, you gave us a bad player. When Terrell Pryor, I don't know how the coaching staff feels about Terrell Pryor, but, you know, that could be a statement. Hey, we don't like this guy. Or then they bench Cam Irving, the number, you know, he's a 19th pick in the draft. He subbed for Joel Bitonio. Then they yank him in the fourth quarter. You don't see that happen very often. Yeah, you know, I think that's another, hey, look, you got us a bum at 19. How are we supposed to win? But anyway, the receivers, they wound up with two healthy guys, and one of them wasn't even that healthy. Brian Hartline was limping after the game with a pretty bad thigh bruise. You know, it just made it tough for the quarterback. Austin Davis, poor guy, starting his first game with the Browns. And he has two receivers, one of which is an undrafted rookie making his debut. He's got hardly any running game. The protection wasn't there. It's just a tough spot for whoever's playing quarterback.
Two things, Scott. One, this wide receiver named Jennings who played yesterday and returned kicks, how long had he been around compared to Terrell Pryor?
Well, Jennings has been here all year. He just was on the practice squad.
Ah,
so he's been practicing. He was in training camp. You know, he was in training camp the whole time, got cut, final cuts, and then they re-signed him to the practice squad. So he has been practicing. He's been familiar with the offense. But it is a statement from the coaching staff that this guy, you know, they've been trying to stay true to, if you practice well, that's how you earn playing time. They've done it with Justin Gilbert at cornerback. They're trying to get that message across and stay to it. And I think that it was reaffirmed yesterday. We said, hey, we're not going to just play Terrell Pryor because he's a big, fast kid who got here 3 days ago. We're going to go with the guy that's practiced all year and we think deserves that time. You know, the guy showed up and he had five catches in his debut and he looked okay. But, you know, when you talk about A.J. Green, A.J. Green is big and fast and he looks like a number one receiver. The guys the Browns have out there aren't. Some of them are quick. Most of them are small. Trez Benjamin's super fast, but he's small. And it's amazing that it went 12 games before he got hurt, taking a hard fall on the shoulder. But that's one of the areas that there's, again, conflict between coach and GM. Ray Farmer has failed to get the Browns the kind of receivers that coaches, that offensive coordinators want. He doesn't have the big guy. He only drafted one, and he was a fourth-round pick that they cut. And that's a big bone of contention.
One other thing that caught my attention yesterday was that in watching Austin Davis throw the ball, it appears to me that he doesn't use his entire arm nor shoulder. He throws a lot from the elbow forward. Did you notice that?
Yeah, you know what? I noticed that he has a funky motion. I didn't break it down yet. I haven't watched it on TV again. But it's not. It doesn't seem to me a real smooth motion. You know, I think some people think he has a quick release. You know, the coaches after the first game pointed out a couple plays and said, hey, look, you can see his arm strength on this deep out. But to me, it's a little bit of a funky motion. I think the ball's got a little hump to it. But, you know, to be honest, he got here so late in the process. He missed training camp. He was at the Rams. The Browns picked him up week one. So I haven't seen him throw a ton of balls. But I don't think there's any way you say he's got a giant arm or, you know, a pure motion that you'd have somebody emulate.
So Monday, we find out who their quarterback's going to be next week, or does it even matter? I mean, is it just give you at least another paragraph to write for the next day? I don't know what
well,
to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, nothing I write is only a paragraph. But, yes, we should have. Mike Pettine said we'll have the quarterback decision today. Hopefully he announces it today and doesn't, you know, say he's going to make it Monday night. But, yeah, to me, it would make sense to go back to Johnny Manziel because at least that gives the fans something to cling to. They have two more home games. They play Sunday and then they finish against Pittsburgh. If you're not starting Johnny Manziel, I don't, you know, nobody's going to show up. I think the stadium, the energy, the atmosphere could be even worse. So I think it makes sense from an organization to go back to Johnny. Plus, there's people that want to see what he does with four straight starts. You know, the Browns could have the number one pick in the draft, could have to decide whether or not they want to take a quarterback. Do they stick with Johnny? And one of the things you need to find out is how he plays, and you get four games of film on him. So I'll tell you what, if Mike Pettine stays with Austin Davis, I think that's a statement to the organization that, you know, maybe that I just don't care what anybody else thinks. I was fed up with Johnny. Maybe Johnny sabotaged my career here. I'm keeping him on the bench. I think there'd be an outcry if he stuck with Davis. I think it makes sense to go back to Johnny. And, you know, at least that gives you something to kind of cling to the last 4 weeks, something to pay attention to.
You mentioned about the Browns fans at home field. Of course, other teams are turning it into their own field. They're jumping into the end zone, into the stands, and against the Bengals. That, to me, that's really unheard of for something like this at Browns Stadium.
Well, yeah. The same guy tried it last year and got shoved out. And this year he stuck because he found some Bengals fans. One of the Browns players, Chris Kirksey, didn't take kindly to it, got a penalty because he got in Hill's face. It's just another sign of how humiliating, embarrassing that loss was yesterday. That shouldn't happen at your home stadium. There were plenty of Bengals fans in the crowd. That's when I mentioned the Steelers in the finale. If they're playing for a playoff spot on January 3rd, there's going to be a ton of Steelers fans in that stadium. And when your owner, Jimmy Haslam, you can talk all you want about continuity and stability. If you show up to your stadium and you see, let's say, 30,000 Steelers fans and they beat your Browns, I just don't know how you go into the office and go, okay, we're going to stand pat and I'm going to trust these same guys for another year, because it could get worse next year. I think that would be the final straw, if it hadn't already happened, for him to say, I need to make changes.
Well, maybe Jimmy Haslam will think he's like 4 years ago or whatever, when wasn't he a part owner of the Steelers at some point? So he had something to there. But, well, we'll see what happens against the 49ers coming up next. And we'll talk again. Have a good week, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Sure. Bye-bye.